from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. Then instead of having a mouthful of marbles, I think I have a mouthful of warbles. Not warblers. Anyway, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
I want to thank Carl W., who edited this episode, the legend Carl W., Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who does our theme music, Jonathan Mann at jonathanmann.net, who does our lullabies, Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. Listeners have a Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. I want to thank Lauren Lida, Summer and Sarah, and Julie and Jennifer, who moderate over there. And I believe that's it. Let's get on with the show. All right. Hey, you've all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is create, cultivate. I guess that's a better word. I just thought of that one. I'm going to cultivate a safe place here. And what I mean by cultivate is, we'll talk about the cultivation side, I guess, you know, as I look it up, as I talk here. But what's the safe place? Safe place is a place, you know, a place where place is overused. It's a place where you can set aside whatever's been keeping up, whether it's thinking, feeling, physical sensations, like emotional turbulence, emoting. Things, you know, dust motes. That's another thing that's kept me up at night more than once. Sentient dust motes, people making lists or people listing things, tossing and turning, thinking. Did I say thinking? I did. Internal noises, external noises, partner snoring. whatever it is. It could be anything else. It could be, but ideally it's relatable because it's keeping you awake. And you know what? I know that sucks because I've been there. That's why I make this show. And that's why I send my voice across the deep, dark night with the goal of, you know, distracting you or aiding your crossing over into the arms of Morpheus. And it's, I guess that's the cultivation of safe place. It's like, okay, I might not know exactly what you're dealing with, what's keeping you up at night. But ideally, I could relate to it. I say, well, geez, like, when you can't fall asleep, or you can't get a good night's sleep, or you say, man, ugh. And I can't say I totally understand, but I can relate because I've been there even this week. And, like, I guess that's why, like, it's my honor that I've been doing the show for a little while now, just about three years. And the show's kind of changed over the while, but the whole idea of the show was, why don't grown-ups get bedtime stories? What a ripoff, I used to say before this podcast. And they say, well, why don't you listen to the kids' bedtime stories? And I say, well, show, you know, get somebody over here to tell me one, and I'll listen to them. And then I made some calls, and, you know, they said, well, that's just, I'm not telling. And I said, okay. I said, okay, let's be honest. And then I masqueraded as a answer. I think it was a. You know, so many times I masquerade as university researchers. I'm sorry, university researchers, I've given you such a bad name. I don't think it was anthropology. I think it was. I say, yes, this is Dr. Jones calling. Is this the Bedtime Story Institute? And they say, oh, yes, it is. How can we help? Happy bedtime to you. I said, well, you know, my research tells, did a strange man call earlier and ask to have a personal bedtime story? Oh, he did. We told him to call 1-900-BEDTIME-STORY. Oh, do they charge for that? Oh, they do. But you know, that would give him a bedtime story. Okay, but you're an institute, so it must be free, right? Oh, it is for children. Okay, well, I'm doing this research. I'm in the anthropology department over here at Big U. Oh, Big U, what's that? It's the university, you know, the big university here. I'm working on doctoral thesis. Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, it's about bedtime stories, believe it or not. That's why I'm calling the Bedtime Story Institute. Oh, well, doctor, that is, you're doing bedtime story research. Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. I've looked through, you know, do you mind if I read you the beginning? Since the eons of time, human beings have craved narrative. Narrative during the day, but an equal amount of narrative at the night. Oh, doctor, I believe I drifted off there. Oh, you know, I'm working on a theory that adults could use bedtime stories, too. Oh, well, that'd be, for adults, who would read an adult a bedtime story? Well, I don't know if you'd read it, you'd tell it, you'd craft it, you'd give them a bedtime story. Oh, doctor, that's cutting-edge research you're doing there. I don't know if we, It's interesting. Tell adults bedtime stories. You know, doctor, it'd be nice, but I just don't think it's realistic. Why isn't it realistic? If I can't get the Bedtime Story Institute to help me with my research, are you refusing my request? Well, doctor, you haven't made a request. Oh, well, I was going to request a bedtime story for research purposes. Well, doctor, I'm afraid we'd have to say, no, we do children's bedtime stories for children here at the Bedtime Story Institute. Yeah, but isn't it past children's bedtime right now? Children around the world. Oh, well, how do you deliver these bedtime stories to children? Oh, by audio tape. We do it by audio tape. Okay, well, could you send me an audio tape? Well, doctor, are you a child? No, I've got a child living, you know, in my heart, a young child, oh, so young. Doctor, I have to go. The idea of it, it'd be nice, but I just don't think you're being realistic. Goodbye. So that's how my attempted research went to be. So that's what led to the podcast. You know, it's exactly what happened. And then the next day I said, well, Dr. Jones, no, I think the line from it is no love for you, doctor. No bedtime story for you, Dr. Jones. And then I said, oh boy. If a fake anthropologist can't call a fake bedtime story institute and get a bedtime story, what hope is there for the rest of the sleepless adults in the world? And that's when lightning struck and, you know, my personality divided once again. And I said, well, what if this part of me said, hey, what about me? My name's Scoots. I tell bedtime stories to everybody. And I said, what is that accent? Is that a regional accent? I'm not familiar with that. You live inside me with that accent? No, I could change my accent. I could just do this accent. Okay, so you're telling me you tell bedtime stories to grown-ups and you live inside me. That's so convenient. Yeah, actually, I was pretending to be Dr. Jones. I figured that would start your heroic quest to tell bedtime stories. Well, my heroic quest ended in failure. They rejected me and I gave up. Oh, well, I think you should keep going with this and do bedtime. And so then this is not how the podcast came to be, but it, you know, it kind of sums it up with what I think that took me 8 minutes to say. I said, why isn't there any bedtime stories for grownups? You have to repurpose, you know, you could repurpose good podcasts. Or you could listen to audiobooks, or you could listen to Bob Ross or other stuff. And I said, what the heck? And I said, people like bedtime stories. What can I drifted too off. I'm thinking about putting on my tweed jacket and heading out into the night. But if you're new here or you've been here a while or whatever, this is the deal. I know what it's like not to be able to sleep. And if I can help you, can't help everybody, but if I can help you out either to put you to sleep, distract you as you drift off, put you back to sleep if you wake up in the middle of the night, keep you asleep. Some people just listen to the podcast all night. Keep you company. That's I'll get to that one. Or, you know, I guess with keeping you company, some people now, you know, listen to podcasts, either distract them during the day or as background. I'm happy to be background noise. I'll tell you what qualifies me to make a sleep podcast. I'm happy to be background noise. I'm the white fan of podcasts. Is that what they call it? White noise, white fan. Holy Freudian slip. Yeah, but it, I'm the white noise of podcasts, and it'd be my honor to just be the buzzing noise that you barely hear. But that's my last point, is I'll be here the whole time giving it my all. So if you can't sleep or it takes you a little while, hopefully I could, you know, make you, you know, barely smile, giggle. And then we call bore giggles around here. These parts, we call them bored giggles. I guess that's my point. So I make this podcast tonight. We're talking about, tonight's a metastasis news episode. So upcoming. It's like my mouth is gumming. Coming up here. We'll do the housekeeping. Then we'll have a Spanish story, which means I'll use the Spanish words from the Metastasis News, which is the Colombian version of Breaking Bad. And I'll make a little story as I try to learn Spanish. Not to make fun of Spanish. You know, if there's any fool, it's me. And also genuinely trying to learn through this method, which has probably been proven, you know, ineffective. But it's great for story meanders. Then I'll talk about the episode of Metastasis News. I'll run through that of what I learned and what I could infer. And then we'll talk about the corresponding episode of Breaking Bad. Everything sanitized for bedtime. And, you know, then we'll wrap it up with some thanks and good nights. So I'll be here right around an hour, probably more. You want to set your sleep timer? Go ahead and set it now for 60 minutes. Actually, set it for 40 minutes, 45 minutes now. But I guess that's it. You know, this podcast, you're not under any pressure to listen. You're not under any pressure to fall asleep. Take your time. You know, settle in, pull up the covers, press play. That's what I always say. You know, the other thing I always say is I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you found your way here. I'm glad you took the courage or the risk or overcame the skepticism to give this a shot. You know, because it's just, if I could be in service to you, if this thing I make, and I goof around doing it, but I take it very, very seriously, too, I can help you out, be beyond an honor for me. So I'm glad you're here. I really hope and I really yearn to help you fall asleep. All right. Thanks for coming by.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a Spanish story time from episode 56. You know, if you want to colgar with me, if you want to hang or cuelgue, you know, hang with me in that sense, you know what you need is some seguro, some insurance. And I can hear you saying, Ole del, Ole bo, Ole bo, Olbidello, Olbidello, forget it. Entiendo, I get it, I get it. I get your resistance to buying hanging insurance for hanging with me. Chill, let's just say it's chilling, you know, insurance. A donde safe way to where it was, you know, because we're going to go tomar algo cafe. We're going to go drink some coffee. And, you know, the first reason you need insurance, they say, the companies, the bonding companies and the licensing companies is pues tengo la cabeza, because I have the head hayan llevando that they have carried. And you'd say, I'm sorry, what, the head they have carried? Yeah, this is the insurance company's claim. Okay, so don't take it from me or their representatives. Because they say, by my cabeza, they say, es un enfermo. It's a sick cabeza. You know, and I say, you got that right, buddies. They say, you mean the good kind of, this, it's sick, man. I, you know, totally sick. And they say, no, enfermo. And with the insurance companies, they got together in Guardar Bueno Magnitude. They figured out they would save a good amount if everyone that came in contact with me had insurance. And I said, eso ya paso. That's already happened by, I told the insurance companies this. I said, that already happened by evolution because, you know, I try to keep people at bay. I have my own insurance plan. It's called Hermitude. And also, you know, getting on people's nerves. I say this, you know, or you could call eso ya paso, just being safe, you know. I'd like to maintain my privacy. And they say, yes, sabe, yeah, we already know about this. We have a saying about you at the insurance companies here. Vayamos entonces tomate. We go, and then you go tomato. And I say, I go tomato, tomate. And they say, yeah, yeah, you go decide tranquilamente to tomate. So I said, I go from chill, from quiet, to tomato mode, eh? I didn't even know I had a tomato mode. Tenia detalles, can you tell me about this tomato mode? Can you give me the details? And they say, you don't remember this, Scoots, when you called your cabeza tomato.
And you don't remember this phase you went through, your fresca este phase, tomate, fresh this, you used to say that, and then you'd point at your head. I go, yeah, and I just say, isn't that sick? I'm sick, man. Check this out. And it's actually accurate, I'd like an accurate date on that when I was a, I don't remember a tomato phase that I had, so I do not believe, I think this is just an insurance scam. So, Hacerlo, do it. You know, tell me when I did this. Yavarle solamente. You know, come on. Pienso tuyo grabado. And they said, I think you recorded it. And I said, really? Recolecto. I can't recall. Was there a condena was like a sentence from a judge involved? Condenarlo, you know, was I convicted of it, you know, being a tomato head? And again, why do people need insurance? And they said, no te conto, we didn't tell you. And I said, no, no, no. And they said, ojo me con probar, you know, we've got our eyes checking you. And I said, you're really taking this. I said, so people need insurance to be near me, to hang with, to chill, to kick it. What about kicking it? Is that a different deductible? And then they said, I think this is a sales scam. The Pieza Puedo Hacer Nada. With a piece of Scoots insurance, you can do anything. That's what they're saying. Saliendo, coming out soon. And I said, Materle defender me propio bien. Like, you're going to push this insurance and then defend me well? And they said, oh, no, 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 you're going to, Olympia Obligado, you're going to need your own clean lawyer for Lotto, for your side. You know, with Fiscales Occultor, we'll deal with the prosecutors with the insurance company, but not for you, Afecta Consiga. And I said, did you just say get effects, like DOS effects? And I said, this is confusing me. Tanto en Serrera. I need to enclose. Why can't I come up with my own insurance policy for myself or people that are near me? Like, no hay de otra, like no other. And I'd say, you're not doing a good job of selling it. You're just selling it like people would have to. And you know how I would sell it is Tienta no ahugar. You might be tempted not to play with me, kids. But you know, siento bueno. You know when I feel good. Sir Carlo de a mi cabeza. You know, I've got a tomate de cabeza. And I always think at Cape Bueno, that's good. But I can see all you other kids with your mochilas, your backpacks. They look heavy. And we're about to play a grand game here. Grabar todavía quitasela. You know, we're going to take away the fun, you know, in record time. Because asustada, you know, everyone's scared of tomato head. I don't know why, because I don't even know what it means. They just claimed I went through a phase. A peor, is it the worst? So let's take a trip on analysemos. So let's look back in time. Because I think this is remores, like hearsay. And I'm going to have, like, a low admitto. I'm going to come up with an insurance menciono, like that I mentioned, guaranteed to have fun hanging, chilling and kicking it with me. Sagrada, like a sacred insurance, like I guarantee... Which 51% of the time, you know, because one of the problems is manda una isla. You know, when you send someone to me and I'm an island, and por fin, at last, I finally let them in. Mercancía revar sostener montón. It would be good if you could review me. Good reviews mean a lot, like for driver, you know, the drivers and stuff like that. And you know what I'll do? Pagule su coja su parte. I'll pay them and take their share. You know what that means? Like I'll pay the insurance company. I'll take their share out and give it to them.
mentiría certeza creer puedo. Like, I certainly believe that they're lying, that you need insurance to be around me. You see, this could be the like a projection of my internal critic, to be honest, kids. And you know what I think about this? I'll be honest, this might sound harsh, but intentaste deroche apuesta. You know, my internal critic makes a tired, wasteful bet on, you know, ensuring, like, all certainty in life. And sometimes, atrapen, it gets caught. Te lo juro por Dios, I swear to the powers above. And no le dije una sola palabra. I didn't say a word negative about the critic. It's just trying to do its job. Hablame, dime algo, like, you know, talk to me, tell me something. See, you want to be around people, you need insurance. You can't just ask them to hang out with you. And I say estuve, I was just trying to make friends. You know, una horas, you know, just a couple hours a day. And some people, bobio, have feliz, have returned happy that, if, you know, that we've hung out with. You know, solo poner facil. It's just easy. But you seem to be renuncies promete. You seem to be putting out promises of quitting. You know, nuestros hijos, our children, our childlike friends. I'll tell you what, critic, prometeme entero. You know, promise me the whole. Because you know the old saying, arruine parecia sospechas. The ruin seems suspicious, dear critic. The ruin seemed suspicious. You know what I mean? You think everything's going to go wrong, but it's a little suspicious because it's quietos tranquilos. You know, it's quiet, it's still, it's chill. You know, entonces la hizo. You know, that it was tan mal decisiones. You know, I've made some bad decisions, but camino me a ver, I've walked to see things change. Did you know, dear internal critic, se puede bajar? You can download the podcast that I make. Despierte a ver, you can wake up to see if it's been downloaded. Oh, yo, lovey, you already saw it. Okay, so you're my internal critic, but you've turned again. You've joined with an insurance conglomerates against me. Un poco de oficio, like a little trade in insurance for certainty. I'm sorry. Did you just say este lugar es una posliga? Like that, my insides, like maybe it's a pigsty. That's why I need insurance. You're saying metaphorical pigsty, my friendship. Wow, I've never had that described in that way. How about post-liga poquito luz, like a light, a little light pigsty. Like, nah, that sounds so harsh. You know, couldn't we call my friendship more of a pepino, like a cucumber? You know, why don't the ofender pagale incendo? With your fiery comments, why can't you and the insurance company pay me? You know, mete a todos en el infierno. You know, I'm trying to just live my life. It doesn't have to be all rotten ruin. Confio respecta bulbaria. I'm confident the regard would return. And one more thing. Oigan y esta. Hear this and this. Arriba pierna derecha. Put your right leg up. Put your finger on your moro and turn yourself around. Vea pues a la dona. See yourself as a spinning donut. Poquita levanta. Jump up a little bit. Yeah, there you go. Reco guer. Collect your points. Those are certainty points. They are. Now dormiste. You sleep. Worries nada, you know, no worries, nothing. Animo, this will cheer you up. You let me play. Cantarles todo hoy mismo, and I'll tell you all today.
you know, pro bar, no tenga, nada. I have nothing to prove. Te lo juro nas ba a poder. I swear that you won't be able to, we're just going to do our best here. You know, la slave, we'll just take our, we'll do have our fun. We'll take it, our ups and our downs. Acaba toda, all of it. And yeah, sometimes we'll have reales suspicious, real suspicions, diste. But you give me the idea, we can't have certainty insurance, especially for other people. You know, we can't ask a mysterious permiso jefe, a permission boss. That's the worst kind of boss. Hey, boss, can I have your permission? We got to get it from the insurance company. Verlo, hombre. Can't you see that, man? And muchas faltas, much insurance is needed. If you want much certainty, you need a lot of insurance. Or else you'll be a guevón. And I say, well, I am that. But I think this all parecio lo de su amigo. To a friend, this all seems ridiculous. They say, let's just go play. Okay, so let's just go play together, okay? Okay, thank you. So we're talking episode 56. It starts with an old man washing a car. And he finds a stack, and he's like, he says, K? What? It's a stack of cash. And he follows the money. It's Jose Miguel's money. And then he finds Jose Miguel's car. And then Jose, he sees Jose not in his car, next nearest car. He's lying, like, with his eyes open in the grass, back down, like, staring into space, kind of catatonic. So then the guy that found the money, the old man, says, well, just let me call for an assist here for Jose. And the episode opens, Enterrado is the title of the episode. And we're back in Henry's garage, right where we last left off. And the garage door opens, just like at the end of the last episode. Henry and Walt have a little stare down. And this was somewhat serious, but somewhat, I guess, just a tiny touch of comedy, maybe. Or maybe not. But Walt walks off. He stops. He looks back. And not yet. The comedy doesn't. He walks down, looks back, stares to Henry down. And then I thought Walt called Maria at first and said, let me talk to Cielo. But I think he ended up calling work. Mariano, I think, is the guy at work. And he's like, put her on the phone now. And the guy's like, no, I can't. He's like, why not? And then Walt looks and Henry's about to get in his Jeep. He's on the phone. He gives him a look like, ha-ha, I beat you to Cielo. And he almost grins, Henry. So then there's like this race to the finish line kind of thing. And Walt races off. And then we see Cielo. She's at work on the phone with Henry. She's saying, CC. Walt's calling at, she's on the landline, but Walt's calling on his, on her cell. And she's kind of ignoring it. And then we see Walt at the car wash. And he gets there, but Cielo's already gone. And then Cielo something, Retra something. But she pulls up to a restaurant. Maybe that, I don't think that says restaurant. It looks like R-E-T-A squiggly lines. And then Henry's waiting at the restaurant. There was also like either a soda or beer machine that said Chicks Trip or Tricks. If that's a soda, I want to drink it for sure. I mean, they caught my attention. I said, what is that, a soda machine? Say Tricks? Is that Tricks flavored soda? I don't know if I'd want Tricks flavored soda. And it didn't have the Tricks cereal font. It definitely wasn't related to that. But Cielo goes in the restaurant. Henry, it was more of a cafe. Henry goes to Cielo. She's sad. He embraces her. This was good. They sat down and he goes, you want some of the drinks? She goes, a cafe. And I don't know if this is a cultural thing or just a Henry thing. He did an upward snap, like kind of like a flick snap to get the waiter's attention. I wish this was a visual podcast. You know, when you flick your wrist upward and move your hand upward and you're snapping upward. Like, definitely, I don't know. I felt like I was in high school. Like, he was like, oh, no. But instead he said, hey, cafe over here. And then Henry does most of the talking. Cielo's kind of looking away from him. You know, he's talking about the case against Walt. She seems sad. Henry seems mad, but looking for some kind of leverage. And then Cielo keeps breathing out, and she cries a little bit. And Henry covers a lot here. I said, this guy's going full force. He's not feeling this out. And we see Cielo's concerned. She's like, geez, does Maria know about this? He's like, not yet, not yet. And then Henry wants to record her on an audio recorder. He's like, tell me everything. And Cielo's face changes and she says, Henry. But not like that, like Henry, like with drama. And she seems to kind of struggle with what to do, and Henry still talks. And then she's like, I have one more question. And then the coffee comes. And then she's kind of like, you want me to talk about this right now? And then Henry kind of reveals something that she did not know about Walt not being well. And then he says, what does it say? He says it with some edge, like, yeah, Walt's not well. Yeah. And this kind of quiets her down, and she puts her hand to her face, and she has that 1,000-mile, you know, that old 1,000-mile stare. And she gets really calm for a few seconds and almost thoughtful as Henry keeps talking and talking. He's all worked up. And Cielo breathes these, like, short breaths, and then she has more questions. And Henry has her on the spot, and he kind of lays everything on her. Also, Henry was wearing his square shirt. It was a little too loud for the situation with the gray, white, and black's uneven squares. Been a little while since he's worn it. Not one of my favorite shirts of his. I mean, he could pull it off, but I'd just say just leave it at home, Henry. You know, do that blue, white, the one with the circles. Circles are more your prints than squares, especially uneven gray. It wasn't even a true gray. It was like a grayish brown. And, I mean, I have no fashion sense, believe me. But, you know, I've watched 55 of these episodes, you know, every week, three times a week. So I'm familiar with his clothing choices. Cielo comes back with what she wants or thinks or needs. I couldn't tell, like, from Henry. And Henry doesn't like that response. So he kind of goes back with sign of this calm, and he brings Maria and kids into it, and he's, like, telling her what is best. And then he stands up, and she asks some kind of big question. And he's like, don't worry. But then Cielo kind of gets worried, and she's like, I'm out. Then I have an alliteration here, but I have to start with, this is the Colombian version of Bill Burr and the Breathe Loud guy. And they go to the store. So the Colombian Bill Burr and the Colombian Loud Breather, they go to the storage unit and they go in with the money. And Burr breathes out. He's like, he can't believe, you know, how much money in there. Then the loud breathing guy, he wants to lay down in the money. So Colombian Bill Burr does that. And they lie down to have a little chat while they're lying in the money. Can't read. Oh, que bueno, they say, you know, feels good to lie in money. And then we're at Saul's office, and Walt is pacing. Saul's talking on the phone loudly. Walt gets a call from Cielo, but Saul's like, trash your phone. Don't answer the phone. Throw your phone battery, or, you know, do that thing where with the flip phone where you break it to show your strength. And Walt's pretty bent out of shape about Henry and Cielo talking and stuff.
Then they talk about, Saul and Walt talk about family and what are the best options. And Walt seems to show his loyalty to family again and softness. Also, Saul looked really sharp, Saul Bueno, in his light gray lavender suit. And I can remember, I think it only took like a half episode for this actor to win me over. I mean, much different than Bob Odenkirk. A tall order, but he did a good job. And he just looked good in this situation. He had a suit, gray suit, light gray suit, lavender shirt, like a tasteful one with a matching pocket square. Then Bill Burr and the Breather show up. They've got barrels full of money. And Walt pulls out a tip for everyone, and the barrels are in a truck. Walt drives into the hills and starts to dig. Next, we see Cielo and the baby. Cielo's trying to get a hold of Walt, which should be a Saul who's playing dumb on the phone. Then their doorbell rings. Henry's outside with Maria. Henry tattletaled on Cielo, so Maria's all bent out of shape. She was in her purple dress, purple shoes. Also, she's wearing a necklace that either had two purple gems or was the shape of a bow and a chain around her neck. And Maria she begs Maria. She's like, D-Meg, tell me this isn't true. It's weird that, so sight words is a thing for me with dyslexia. It's weird that D-Meg, which is the same as dime, is now a sight word. I know it's dime, and I know it means tell me, but more because it's a picture. Tough to explain what a sight word is, I guess. Doesn't look like a dime or tell me, but when I see dime, I don't see tough to explain, but that's like one of the few Spanish words that became a sight word for me. I think four letters is my limit. I would say Cielo cries and begs, or Maria does, that's not true. And then she also starts to, her consciousness unfolds about everything. So she realizes it's about the money, when Cielo knew what, that the money came from the same business that her husband's up against or was up against. And she gets really upset. Her voice cracks. She's so upset. She says, let's take Valentina for ice cream. And Henry comes in. He's like, this is the worst time to take Valentina for ice cream. Let's go. So they get in the car. They argue about, Valentina. And then Henry breathes. And he gets this weird look on his face. And he looks over at her. And then Walt's digging. He decides he's going to put his money in the ground. And I know people like this. They tend to let's just get this project done. They're not procrastinators. They think these are A personalities. I believe that Walt's character would do this. Almost no one else on earth would dig a friggin' hole in one day. If I was going to dig that hole, it'd take me years. Or I'd say, geez, I couldn't even get it pay someone because I'd get in too many arguments. But Walt digs this hole, puts his money in the ground, even though he doesn't feel good. Takes so long, he has to use a headlamp. Then he finally uses GPS to mark the spot, memorizes it, breaks the GPS, puts on the fridge the lotto ticket that has a GPS number on there. And then Cielo's like, Walter? And then she's like, what's up? And Walt won't talk. While Cielo's got all these questions about Henry, she didn't say anything. Walt wants to take a shower, and then Walt kind of falls asleep instantly. So Walt wakes up, Cielo's kind of nursing him, and they kind of talk real quiet-like. And Walt was like looking up at Cielo. He kind of tells her something. She holds her hand to her mouth when he tells her. And it was cute. Walt had like a pillow under his head and a plaid blanket. And he was like really snuggled in there, like tucked in, like Cielo had tucked him in. Very cute. Then we see a SUV with lots of dudes and Lydia going somewhere. And they're going to meet with Walt's guy, the guy he made a deal with. And he kind of wants answers from Lydia. Lydia's tamping her fingers on her hand. She's kind of nervous, so she's comforting herself. And Lydia plays this, like, serious, cool business role. And the guy, he kind of gives her some mad laughter, some chuckles. And then he turns around and walks off. Lydia kind of stumbles because she has heels on and they're in a field. And then they show, this manhole is their hidden meth lab down here. So they go down there and it's dirty. Contenes, that's what I put, but that's not Spanish or English. It's underground. Lydia's giving it the once over. She's like, this doesn't cut the mustard, bro. And then she talks about Peto, and they're like, Peto's not a good meth cook. And then there's like some trouble. Whole time Lydia's texting. I said, you know, even at a meth lab, you can't, but I mean, it ends up, it's part of the plot. And she hides out, how Peto comes and gets her, Peto. And then they kind of won Peto's team because they were playing, running races or whatever you call that, relay races. So they leave. Then Henry's at home. He's in a pink V-neck T-shirt, which was pretty smooth, actually. Like very cash, like cash Saturday, like sure, but it was a weekday for him. But he says, yeah, this is my weekday work from home shirt. I think it was his PJ shirt, though, because he's at the kitchen table. Maria kind of comes in. She's still in her purple sleepwear. And she grabs a coffee. They have a long talk. At the end, Henry puts his head down on the table. And then they're at work. Henry's in a suit, looking sharp. Gomez rolls in. Everyone at work's all smiles and high fives and goofing. And then Gomez goes to leave Henry's office, and he's like, oh, one last thing. Did you hear about Jose Miguel Rojas? And Henry's like, WTF, what are you kidding me? So then they cut to Jose, who's just sitting there with those same cops that grilled him once before. One of the cops is so ridiculous. He has a professor sport coat on with leather patch elbows. And these guys are the worst. They just keep pitching ideas out there, and Jose does not say anything. He's just quiet and distant, staring down. And they can't get his attention no matter what they say. They even snap, and they say, Rojas. And then there's a knock at the door, so they say, even when they try to leave, they try to do it with style. And then Henry's there. He's like, hey, I need to talk to this cat. And they say, it's not a cat, it's a kid. And they say, is this DEA business or personal business? He says, a touch of both. Maybe this is what he says, don't worry, I'll only be a second and I'll tell you everything. And then Henry kind of goes in on the sly, like, so Jose can't see him. And it's quiet, and he stares off to the side. And then he goes in, and Jose still stares down. And then the episode ends. All right, so we're talking about season 5, episode 10 of Breaking Bad. And it opens with a house. There's bug noises, and there's this a grizzled old man. Can't read what it says. Beef? Some something hunting cap. But he's got like an old-fashioned hunting cap. He's got like an old pickup truck. It's a red Chevy with a white roof. So really cool when the roofs are different than the colors. And there's a rumbling engine. And one thing I really noticed in this episode is there's a really great sound design. So there's good engine sounds of the rumbling engine. And this old man, he finds some of Jesse's money, and then he starts to find more as he follows it down the street. He goes across the street. There's more engine sounds in the distance. Then he goes into a park. He goes down a grassy hill, past a swing set, and he sees Jesse's car. The turn signal's still on. So then there's the turn signal sign, or the turn signal sounds that click, click, click. And then they up the ante even more, because there's the sound of the playground merry-go-round, the squeak, squeak, squeak as it goes in the circle. And we see Jesse's like lying on it on his back, and he's using one foot to just push the merry-go-round around. And it's just awesome, the layers of sounds and stuff. So it's just really cool. Yeah, spinning it with one foot on his back. And the next thing we see is a yellow remote control car, like a kid's remote control car. And Walt walks out of Hank's garage, and he turns back. And then Hank, like, limps along. And they have a little face-off. And this was classic. I never noticed this before. But it was like a little mini-Western scene. Like, they had the sound from spaghetti Westerns, that whistling wind sound that you hear before they have a showdown. And I watched this scene a few times, and they had like a, it was like there were two gunslingers. Do yourself a favor. It's 4 minutes in, and watch it. If you pause it right around 4 minutes, like Walt's hands are at his side, like, and then Hank's going for his remote control for his garage. And then there's a race for them to go get Skyler. Walt calls Mariano. He says, "Mariano, I need to talk to Skyler." And meanwhile, Hank's at his garage. Hank's on his phone. And Mariano's like, "Skyler's on the phone with somebody." Walt's like, "Who is Skyler on the phone with?" And he drives off really fast. And then we see Skyler, and she's like, "Yeah, okay." And at first the focus is on Skyler, then the focus is on her cell phone and Walt's calling. Then Walt pulls into the car wash. He's like, "Where's Skyler? Mariano, where's Skyler?" And they're like, "She's gone." And what does this say? "Resting two hands on," I can't tell if it says purse or what, "resting two hands on purse," it looks like. And then there's some steel guitar music. Oh yeah, because Skyler walks in, and there's a steel guitar, sad country music, and they're in this like kind of Tex-Mex style restaurant. Hank's waiting there. He gives Skyler this like this comforting hug. And then Hank sits on the table. His hands are on the table. And he says, I loved this line. He says, "Skyler, my head is spinning." And Skyler's kind of picking at her fingers nervously. And Hank says, you know, some tough things about Walt. He says, "Walt is not a good person." And Skyler kind of looks down when he says that. And then after a while, you know, back and forth, Skyler wants to know if Marie knows. So she says, you know, "I'm really worried about Marie and knowing about this." And he goes, "We'll get to that soon enough. But before we get back to the house, I'm going to have to ask you to tell me everything you know. Take as long as you like." And then Hank pulls out a recorder, and he says, "State your name and the date." And Skyler's like, "Do we have to do this right now?" And Hank's like, "Well, I need a statement on the record." And Hank's kind of over anxious, like over pushing. He's like, "Well, we're running out of clock here." And she says, "What do you mean running out the clock?" And Hank says, you know, Skyler, he's not doing well. And Skyler doesn't know that Walt's not feeling good again. So she's like, holy cow. And then he's like, I can't believe he didn't even tell you. And then he goes, and then Hank kind of gets angry and kind of makes it about himself. You know, he's like, you know, I can't believe this guy, whatever, Skyler. And then Skyler's like, well, you know what, maybe I need a lawyer, Hank. And at this point, they start to get all these different shots of the restaurant. There's like a shot of them, like a two shot of them sitting. And then there's all the shots of like outside the restaurant. You can see a couple different shots of the street. And I just really liked that. And then Hank says, he goes, it'd be in your best interest to show the world you have nothing to hide. He goes, you start bringing in lawyers and stuff like that, and you know, I'm not going to be able to control the situation. And he goes, Skyler, I'm your biggest advocate here, so we got to get ahead of this thing. You start being defensive, and I don't know what I can do. I've been around long enough to know. And then he drops Marie. He goes, you know, no one is more important to me than your sister. So believe me, you know, we're both going to be in trouble on that one. And then Skylar's, you know, alarm's kind of going off. She goes, you know, you telling me not to talk to a lawyer, that doesn't sound like you have my interest at all. She goes, it sounds like what you want is to get Walt at all costs. I just really loved how this slowly played out. And he says, let's slow down. He goes, you can talk to a lawyer later. He goes, but maybe we'll go get the kids. We'll go to my house. We'll do all this thing. And Skyler's like, well, did you just say the kids? Like, that's off the table. And so then it kind of plays out real intense, and Skyler heads on her way. There's a couple other interesting parts. Skyler asks, am I under arrest? And Hank, like, breathes. And then he gets this, like, strange look on his face. Then the next thing we know, we see Bill Burr and Huell. And speaking of breathing, you know, Huell's a loud breather. And Huell picks the lock for the storage unit, and Bill Burr pulls the unit open. And he pulls off the sheet. He did it with a really nice flourish. He pulls off the sheet, almost like a magician would. Showing the money. I noticed they both had blue shirts and black jackets, but it wasn't a uniform. And they don't seem like the kind of guys that would say, hey, what are you wearing? Are you wearing a black jacket and a blue shirt to be Saul's henchman tomorrow? But I don't know. They could be the relationship they have. But there is some, Huell wants to lie down in the money, and, Bill Burr's kind of like, we're here to do a job, not channel Scrooge McDuck. And then they lie down in the money, and Huell's like, this just feels so good. He goes, shouldn't we just take this money? He goes, no, we can't do that. You can't do that. I also liked when they both lied on the money, they had their like hands clasped over their abdomen. Like, they just thought it was these two grown men. It was kind of funny. And then Walt is at Saul's office waiting for Huell and Bill Burr. And Skyler calls, and Saul's like, take the battery out of the phone. I'm not being paranoid. You know, Hank's going to be having you under watch. He had a sky blue tie with pink flamingos on it, just in case you're playing the home game. A sky blue tie with pink flamingos. And he wants to send Hank on a trip to Belize with quotation marks. And Walt's like, dude, Hank is family. I'll send you to Belize. I thought that was funny. It was really well acted. He goes, I'll send you to Belize. And then the van comes and there's barrels of money in there. I don't know why I put out. Van barrels out. Oh, barrels out into the picturesque desert. Saul takes, or Walt drives out there. It's Roadrunner territory. Very picturesque, very Roadrunner-y. And Walt pulls off the road. He starts digging. It, as I said in the, it just seems so exhausting to me. Like, I don't have the willpower to dig a hole for, like, 20 barrels of money. But, yeah, it just seemed tiring. And let's see. But Walt does it. Then we see Skylar at home with the baby. She's calling Saul. Marie comes over. She says, Sky, I know you're home. And so Skylar lets her sister in. And she's just in purple, totally in purple. And Skylar says, just you, not Hank. And then they go and they're sitting on the bed in the bedroom. Both of their hands are in the lap. And I know, I don't know why I was so focused on people's hands in this episode, but I was. We had, we have people using their hands for self-soothing. We have using their hands. So I don't know. It's just a hand-themed episode. But they have a very intense conversation, you know. Skylar kind of like crosses her eyes. That can't be true. At some point, Marie says, this can't be true. And Skylar, closes her eyes and, you know, tears run down her face. And Marie starts to very slowly put it together. She says, how long was it when you walked in? Did you realize it when you walked in the pool? And then she goes, no, it was before then. And if you look at the way both their actresses' faces are, it's just unbelievable. But, you know, her and Skylar go back and forth, and, Marie finally says, Skylar says, I'm sorry, and she goes, you're not sorry. She goes, you won't talk to Hank because you think Walt's going to get away with all this. And then they decide if the kids need a snack or not. That was kind of weird. After all this intensity, they just had a disagreement about cheese sticks. But Hank finally says, no cheese sticks for the baby. And then that ends. And then after Marie leaves the house, their house number, this might have been the first time I realized it was house number 308. But there's this great scene with Hank and Marie in the car. Marie leaves, they get in the car. And Marie says, you have to get him. And then there's a two shot of them in the car sitting next to each other. And there's a long pause. Then Hank starts the car. Then we saw Walt digging in the sun, but I couldn't get my phone to work to figure out what the song was, but it was a good song. Then he's pulling the barrels and burying the barrels and covering the ground up. Then checking with the GPS and then breaking the GPS. And then he puts the lottery ticket on the fridge with the GPS coordinates hidden in the lottery ticket. Dun, dun, dun. And then Skylar comes out of the bedroom. She says, Walt? And Walt kind of trudges right by her. He's all dirty. And she can tell. She goes, did you move the money? And Walt doesn't say anything. And then she says, I told Hank nothing. Walt doesn't say anything. And then Walt says, I'm going to lie right down here in the bathroom and take a nap. And he does. And we have a transition from night to day. And then we see Skylar, actually, holy Freudian slip on the notes I put Marie. But Skylar has a washcloth and she's patting Walt's head. And his head's on a pillow. And he says, how long was I out? And then they have a big, they share a moment about Walt's health. They have a little moment back and forth. And Walt says to her, are you happy? And Skylar, Anagun really crushes it. She says, I can't remember the last time I was happy. And then Walt says, I'd like to compromise here, but only if you keep all the money. I'll give up and, we'll keep all the money. And then Skylar goes, I don't know, Walt, I think we could get away with this. Hank doesn't know anything. And it's like, whoa, oh boy, holy Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah, her exact words are, I think our best move here is to stay quiet. Then we have a diesel pickup truck. Lydia's in it. She's wearing a very blue wool coat, very stylish, very expensive, very blue. I don't know if you'd call it electric blue. Definitely wasn't a navy or a sky blue. Maybe an aqua. I don't think an aquamarine, but maybe some sort of cerulean. I don't know what cerulean blue is, but it could be cerulean blue. And she takes command of the situation. I said, "Holy Lydia, whoa, boy!" I said, "You're pulling. You're giving me the Cersei's here." I said, "Is it hot in here, or is there a Cersei-esque character on the screen?" But then she goes down a ladder to check the meth lab. Shiny heels on a ladder. That's what I put. That sounds like a song. Shiny heels on a ladder. And then Lydia's rubbing her hands nervously. So this is the hand episode. And she goes, this meth lab is filthy. And the dude, Declan, he says, no, it's dimly lit. And she goes, Lydia really elf. She says, do you seriously think this is up to the standards of your predecessor? Because it is not. And Declan's like, I don't care. And then, you know, they've been up against this before. And she goes, you need to do better. Why can't you use Todd? And the guy goes, well, I don't trust Todd. He's a buffoon and I don't trust him. He goes, I tried Heisenberg's way. It didn't work out. I do it my own way. Oh, I also noticed this was a bus. This was a buried bus at the lab. So I thought that was a callback to the RV. What else? Shiny heels. Lydia says, well, geez, I really wish you would have listened to me. And then she looks at her watch and she sends out a text, which I said, what kind of, these guys are buffoons. I used buffoon already, huh? Then Todd calls down. He says, hello, ma'am. And then she comes out. She goes, I don't want to see any of this business side. And Todd says, no problem. He realized that his uncle's name was Uncle Jack, Todd's Uncle Jack. And then they say, let's take all the lab equipment with us. Then we have Hank at home. He's at his kitchen table working numbers. Marie's in purple PJs. Purple PJs, that really sounds good. And she's, what does this say? Watching him. She's watching Hank working. And we had many shades of purple, the many shades of purple. Her robe was one shade of purple. Then she had a belt that was a different shade of purple. And then her shirt was a different shade of purple. And let's see, peace. What does that mean? Every piece? I don't know. Hank needs not there the day. Oh, let me look at the dialogue here. Basically, Marie's like, Hank, you got to go in with this information. She goes, what are you, Lone Wolf McQuaid? And Hank says, the day I go in with this, it's the last day of my career. He goes, whether we bust him or not, you know, this all happened under my nose. 10 seconds after this, I'm a civilian. And we also have to figure out a way to get Skylar to come to her senses. And Hank says, when I go in there, I'm bringing proof, not suspicion. I can be the man who caught him, at least. And then Maurice worrying, she's like, well, what if something happens before you do something? Yeah, I wrote this down again. I go in there, I'm bringing proof, not suspicion. Then Hank's back at work. He's sitting in his office like everything is fragile around him, which I really, really like. You see, geez, how do you capture that on screen? But they did. He's just sitting in his office, I guess, obscenely good acting. And he's sitting there just like everything is made of thin glass. And then Steve comes in, and he's there to catch up, and they do some catching up, they do some work, and, you know, he's like, oh, did you miss me? He's like, oh, yeah, barely.
And then they reschedule some meetings. And they say, Steve goes, oh, did you hear about Jesse Pinkman? And Hank's like, no. And he goes, oh, he got arrested throwing millions of dollars out of his car window. And then we have these two cops from earlier, grilling Jesse again, talking about, they're trying to trick Jesse, and Jesse's just sitting there silent, staring straight ahead, saying, oh, I'd be bragging. What are you, Robin Hood? And like, geez, how's Jesse? Then they're having a conversation about Jesse in front of him. Oh, how's Jesse raking in all this money? I'm sure he got it, but he's an entrepreneur, or maybe he won it in a card game. Come on, Jesse, why don't you tell us? And Jesse's not saying anything. So finally, there's a knock at the door. Hank stands outside, and he's kind of just watching from the background. And then the two cops, they go out, and he says, hey, I think I could, he goes, I have a history with this kid. Maybe I could help you out. I need some info for another investigation. And he goes, he really dislikes me. He goes, maybe he dislikes me enough to spill some beans. And he goes, and then you guys can go in there and work your magic, because you guys are so good. And, I'll share whatever I know with you. And they say, okay, we'll take a little break here. And then it was a little bit ominous because the two cops leave, and then Hank kind of slowly, he looks in at Jesse, and then he slowly goes in and he shuts the door behind him. And then the episode comes to an end. Dun, dun, dun.
All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my four-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Luxe. And I took that Helix quiz. I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress that matched me with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.